dying animal, and they have tremendously sensitive smell. They can smell a dying animal for miles. Then they're going to a dying animal? Dying or already dead. Should we follow them? Ellie said. I'd be curious, Harding said. Yes, why not? Let's go see where they're going. He turned the car around and headed back toward the Compies. Tim Murphy lay in the Land Cruiser, his cheek pressed against the car door handle. He drifted slowly back to consciousness. He wanted only to sleep. He shifted his position and felt the pain in his cheekbone where it lay against the metal door. His whole body ached, his arms and his legs, and most of all his head. There was a terrible pounding pain in his head. All the pain made him want to go back to sleep. He pushed himself up on one elbow, opened his eyes, and retched, vomiting all over his shirt. He tasted sour bile and wiped his mouth with the back of his hand. His head throbbed. He felt dizzy and seasick, as if the world were moving, as if he were rocking back and forth on a boat. Tim groaned and rolled onto his back, turning away from the puddle of vomit. The pain in his head made him breathe in short, shallow gasps, and he still felt sick, as if everything were moving. He opened his eyes and looked around, trying to get his bearings. He was inside the Land Cruiser, but the car must have flipped over on its side because he was lying on his back against the passenger door, looking up at the steering wheel and beyond at the branches of a tree moving in the wind. The rain had nearly stopped, but water drops still fell on him through the broken front windshield. He stared curiously at the fragments of glass. He couldn't remember how the windshield had broken. He couldn't remember anything, except that they had been parked in the road, and he had been talking to Dr. Grant when the Tyrannosaur came toward them. That was the last thing he remembered. He felt sick again and closed his eyes until the nausea passed. He was aware of a rhythmic creaking sound, like the rigging of a boat. Dizzy and sick to his stomach, he really felt as if the whole car were moving beneath him. But when he opened his eyes again, he saw it was true. The Land Cruiser was moving, lying on its side, swaying back and forth. The whole car was moving. Tentatively, Tim rose to his feet. Standing on the passenger door, he peered over the dashboard, looking out through the shattered windshield. At first he saw only dense foliage moving in the wind, but here and there he could see gaps, and beyond the foliage the ground was 20 feet below him. He stared uncomprehendingly. The Land Cruiser was lying on its side in the branches of a large tree, 20 feet above the ground, swaying back and forth in the wind. Oh, shit, he said. What was he going to do? He stood on his tiptoes and peered out, trying to see better, grabbing the steering wheel for support. The wheel spun free in his hand, and with a loud crack, the Land Cruiser shifted position, dropping a few feet in the branches of the tree. He looked down through the shattered glass of the passenger door window at the ground below. Oh, shit, he kept repeating it. Oh, shit! Another loud crack. The Land Cruiser jolted down another foot. He had to get out of here. He looked down at his feet. He was standing on the door handle. He crouched back down on his hands and knees to look at the handle. He couldn't see very well in the dark, but he could tell that the door was dented outward, so the handle couldn't turn. He'd never get the door open.